In northern Mesopotamia, the area benefits from a much more abundant rainfall that offsets the need for irrigation. This is good because it is a hillier terrain, which would make it much more difficult to create irrigation canals than in the southern lowlands. The land in this area could be used for grazing flocks or for agriculture, since you needed less labor to produce the necessary supply. It was easier to change what the areas were used for. In general, there seems to be somewhat less pressure for land in the north than in the south. And so from the beginning, we can see that there's a contrast between the northern and southern regions. And as we start to collect more evidence and look at this idea more closely, we'll see that the contrast continues. We've seen what the land looked like and what resources were available. So what resources were not available? There were two that were especially desirable, metal and timber. And Mesopotamian rulers wanted these resources in almost every period that we will discuss. They are not widely available in Mesopotamia itself, although there are some timber resources available in the north, but usually timber and metal were imported from both the east and the west. These are both luxury goods that were essential for the building projects that would enhance a ruler's prestige. So a ruler who wanted to show off his control of resources might use cedar from Lebanon in a temple that he was renovating. This would be recognized by visitors to the temple as something that was exotic, something that was expensive, and therefore it showed off what the king could offer to his people. Control of trade routes was one of the primary motivations, apart from land, for disputes between cities and with other cultures. And these we'll refer to these in later lectures. Historians apply different names to this territory depending on the particular era under review. And so it can seem very confusing at first. But once you learn the code, you will be able to know immediately what area and what culture was most important in Mesopotamia. And you will also be able to understand what give you a rough idea of the date. Some of the names that will become familiar to you are Sumeria, Akkad, Babylonia, Assyria, and Persia. And these all reflect the dominant culture of the time. Sometimes the control is cultural, sometimes it is political. Sumeria, or Sumer, will be one of our phrases that we use most often in the first part of the course. This is the area where cities begin, so it is in central and southern Mesopotamia. It is also the language that is used in these regions, but it does not represent a specific ethnic group. We'll discuss the distinction between this a little bit later on. At the same time, northern Mesopotamia, this area that is hillier, has more mountains, is called Akkad, which is also named after the language that was used, even though both cultures used the languages interchangeably near the end of the period that we'll be discussing. Sumer, Sumerian, and Akkad, Akkadian were most important in the 3rd and 2nd millennium BC. And it's important to note that they existed at the same time and that they were two equally important cultures. They were independent of each other until Sargon of Akkad unified the region in the 23rd century BC. In the 2nd millennium, the south and central Mesopotamia was called Babylonia, after the city of Babylon. The term is used to first describe the rise of Hammurabi, the 18th century ruler who was a lawgiver and king of Babylon, who, like Sargon, unified the north and south.